So hey everyone, welcome to our monthly teleseminar. The super show for me had such unbelievable energy. I believe it was fantastic. Many school owners came and made their first trek, and many people were veterans of the super show. I think that no matter what you learn, it's always motivational and exciting to be around so many successful, like-minded individuals. The seminars were really informative, some more so than others, but the ones that were good were great. And remember, just like all the magazines and consulting companies that are out there, such as Natma, Maya, Mata, those companies are all phenomenal. But the problem is that the people who get the information don't normally make it work for them. So what I can say is one company, one idea could make you millions of dollars. And I repeat, yes, millions of dollars. In fact, I taught a seminar on the Friday night, which was a private seminar titled Life-Changing Seminar. And people were kind of goofing on it a little. You know, life-changing. Oh, okay, let's go to the life-changing seminar. You know, my reason for saying it's life-changing is that one simple, silly idea can easily change somebody's life. You know, for example, how much would it change your life if tomorrow you're able to sign up 20 new people a month, or you were able to change your prices from $20 to $140, or $80 to $140, or you were able to add on a program that brought either income, motivation, or retention to your school? It's absolutely life-changing. And also, what about a seminar that may have told you a little bit about, tying in values and life skills to your program? So, for example, I gained some incredible insights speaking with industry peers such as Dawn Barnes and her husband Ben, as well as first time speaking to Jim King, who's a master of after-school programs, and many, many others. So I learn from everything that I do and everything that I hear, and, you know, not always do I learn from it being great. Sometimes the information is poor and terrible, but I still learn from it. So if I could put one point across, no matter what it is always be open-minded. If there's one thing that I can attribute to my success is that I'm open-minded in that area. Many of my relationships personally might say I'm not open-minded, but I believe that one way that I have gotten to where I am is that I'm very easily open to change. I don't mind taking something that I believe is the model and taking it and tweaking it and revamping it and changing it or trashing it and putting something in. If I feel that it's good for my school, I won't hold on to the past. I find that many martial art instructors and school owners get caught in their way of thinking, and they think that their way is the highway. You know, it's either their way or the highway, and they're not willing to change. And, you know, others, though, the successful guys are always watching, learning, and adapting. And now, remember, I'm a ninja classically trained in Japan. I've come from an American ninjutsu background, as well as including having teachers like Juhan Chris Sayak of Sayak Kali. I train with Steven Seagal. And there are many people that think in a certain way, and I've tried to adapt to all of them. So if I were to say my best way is the best, I'd be a fool. If my way or the highway, I'd be a fool. So this year's show, there were a few underlining messages. And speaking to many people at the convention, this kind of either was a sore topic or an exciting topic for them. This year's show, the underlining theme was the MMA, mixed martial arts. And I believe that many people are incorporating this into their martial arts system, and I think from a martial arts perspective, this is a no-brainer. All martial artists should have a blend of fighting tools in their repertoire. The simple fact is that you need to survive in the streets, and your students are learning self-defense. They should be able to do it all. You know, years ago when I was a young guy, I remember getting in a ton of street fights. And I remember, and a lot, because trust me on this, it tortured my mom. She was always forever at the principal. I got suspended a lot. But I remember fighting back in the day. And when I got into a street fight, being a trained martial artist, I was easily able to defeat the people that I fought. In this day and age, everybody, even the most basic younger teen, has some concepts of mixed martial art, ability. Even if they haven't trained in a school, they kind of know how to do a little ground, and they know a little stand-up, and they have a better visual perception or perspective on fighting in general. But my martial art, it was always easily able to defeat basic people who didn't know how to fight. Nowadays, everyone has a better understanding. But the one interesting thing is my martial art's one of the oldest MMA or mixed martial art traditions. We teach ground fighting, stand-up striking, pressure points, weaponry, weapons defense. Plus, we have an entire alternate side that ties into spirituality and meditational training. So again, this is the mentality that I was brought up on. So to me, it's old hat. The MMA thing is old hat. But to most martial artists, it's not. The good thing is that with all the press and that it's bringing, you know, the MMA to the martial art public, in a way, we haven't had that in quite some time. Think about it. When was the last karate movie since The Karate Kid that really brought a flurry of people into our school? You know, think about all the things that, you know, that are going on in our martial art programs that really haven't, it really hasn't had a buzz. You know, I remember the last show, or one of the shows, it was Tai Bo at one point. It was, the fitness aspect. And now we're finding that the MMA is bringing a ton of people into our schools. Or, you know, bringing them in, or at least creating an awareness in our, in our communities. So I see the mixed martial arts as either a blessing or a hindrance, you know. And let me tell you why I feel that way. Before you shake your head and get upset, allow me to explain that the spin on the fight game is not really what I believe in. Don't get me wrong, I love watching. In fact, I was at the steel cage fights in Vegas while I was there. I enjoy a good fight when I get to see those. But what I don't like is the attitude that's publicized, nor do I like what I see when I'm sitting in the audience. So, for example, fighters are cursing at each other every other word. There's disrespect for authority figures, as well as the overall look. It seemed to me that you couldn't get in the ring and be a mixed martial artist if you weren't pierced or tattooed. Heck, you know, I have a seven-and-a-half-year-old daughter, and I won't let her watch any of the mixed martial arts. I think that for the press is capitalizing on an area that I believe to be a little bit of a hindrance to our industry. So to be honest, I don't let her watch the stuff as a young 7.5-year-old, but I think that it's a bit of it's taking on a bit of the circus kind of mentality. Now, adding to that, the MMA is bringing in a certain demographic of 18 to 34-year-olds. Now, this is a great thing because most martial arts schools are children-based or they're void of this area of population. But let me tell you that there are people out there that have many adults, in their programs. In fact, some of my next level clients are all adult based. If they have 40 children and the balance of their students are, 200-300 adults. In our school, we have a large teen and adult following. So, again, I want to be clear and I want to go back over this. I don't dislike MMA. I love it. I want to be clear when I say that. I think that it's helping our industry, but I think that we need to, as school owners, really watch what we're teaching out there. And if we could gather these MMA interests and bring them into our school and then plug them into what I believe to be a real martial arts school, like, respect, honor, loyalty, and so on, then we're going to do well. You know, I believe that the key to having a successful adult program is not the system, the style. It's not only the push of the MMA, but it's something that I believe, like any other fad, when it's hot, but that once you get used to it, it'll cool down and taper off and become old hat. I think the MMA is around for a long time. I think the fight game is going to be there. But it's a matter of developing a program for adults that keeps their interest and ties them in to what they desire and what they want to learn, as well as always in keeping in mind the time constraints as well as all their challenges. So what is it that adults want? And it varies from area to area. Maybe in out of the country it might be different than it is in the U.S. But the real truth of an adult program is not in the curriculum. It's not in the buzz. It's in the market or your market and finding the people to plug into your system or style. For example, there are millions of people. Dana White had talked about the MMA, and it blew away many shows. It had so many millions of people watching, and that's awesome. But you know what? Within our community, if we have, let's say, in my area, my headquarters school, we have 28,000 households within, a 10 to 15-mile radius. So just do the numbers. How many people are potential students? Now, my goal is to have 600 or 700 students in one location. So how many people can I pull from? I already have the community around me that will support and make available those clients as long as I do it the right way. Now, of course, with the buzz of the MMA, it's getting us out in the press and it's creating a buzz and it's creating some sort of excitement. But, that's always been there, so to speak, as long as we know how to tap into it. So not to beat the topic to death, I believe that we should be grateful for the press and the publicity that the MMA is getting us. But I urge you to be careful at how you approach it. A martial art without values and respect is going to backfire on you in the long run, because if you breed fighters, they're going to learn from you as much as they can learn, and they're going to move. If you watch some of the MMA fighters, they go from this camp to that camp to the next camp. They love their trainer. They hate their trainer. There's this kind of, you know, a backstabbing kind of mentality. So be careful. Unless you teach people properly, and you can't, and if you could bridge the gap between honor, loyalty, respect, and family, you'll not only have a successful, long-lasting martial art, mixed martial art program, but you'll have that with any program that you teach. And I believe that that should be one of the biggest issues that we have in our schools. We're not developing a specific culture within our martial art community and family and students and township and so on. So that was the underlining theme of the convention, but I want to move on to the overall vibe of the Super Show. My analogy is that of a puzzle maker, and allow me to explain myself. The martial art convention hall represented a big puzzle to me. In fact, it was many puzzles. So what I mean by that is that, you know, you have your components of your school that are the success components. Of course, you need a billing company. Of course, you need to have some marketing potential. You need to have the gear and the retail side. You need to have software, which, of course, Member Solutions does almost all of these things I've just spoken about. And you also need as well the consulting side. But I found that the consulting side comes from like this franchise mentality. Let me give you an example. Someone walks around, they have a bag. Each booth that they stopped in is a piece of the puzzle. They gather information, some stuff they like more than others, and they're willing to commit immediately based on how well the people did their sales. Or they just gather information and they take all these little pieces of the puzzle and they throw them in their bag. When they come home from the Super Show, they dump their bag out onto a table and now they have all these puzzles, except they don't know that there are five different puzzle components, meaning the billing, the marketing, the gear, the software, and they start trying to put the puzzle together. The problem is, and this is what I find always in the martial art industry, is that the puzzle now, you're looking at these pieces, you have no picture reference at all, and you start plugging little pieces of the puzzle together. After weeks and months go by, you find that you have a puzzle on the desk with little pieces of the puzzle completed, a corner, a center, a middle, and you don't have a complete picture of what you need to do. So the problem with this puzzle is that it's kind of a hindrance to you because you're working on the puzzle, you're working within your business, and you're trying to fit the pieces together, but you never know how to, because the complete puzzle is your complete business. But there are certain ways we should be working, and if we could, preferably, we should work from the top left corner across to the right and down, or however the order would be that we do it, so that we're plugging in components that are going to be beneficial to our school on a daily basis in sequence. So when I did my seminar, I did a topic that I spoke about called Getting Your Head Out of the Blender. And what this basically means is we're talking about our day-to-day struggles and the frustrations and the concepts of running a martial arts school. And I found that everyone I spoke to had the same. And be aware of this. It's everyone has, and you guys are probably all understand this, they have the same frustration as we all do. And that is, how do we plug it in? How do we get the pieces in order? How do we organize ourselves so we start becoming this efficient running machine, so that every step we take is a beneficial step rather than two steps forward, five steps back? See, I love the Super Show because I already have all this established. I always get new ideas when I'm there, and it stimulates me to come back and gives me energy to get, you know, to work again stronger and build the business. And I get excited because there are people out there that make me look silly when it comes to their size of their school, the quality of their school. And then there are a good majority of people out there that really can look up to what we do and are taking it to the next level and my school. So I think the most important thing is to get your head out of the blender, the day-to-day operations, and start looking at what you can improve upon, because we signed up people for my Taking It to the Next Level site that had 500 students. And when they said to me, well, I have 500 students, what could I do? Can I join the higher levels? And I said, well, let's look at month 1, 2, 3, and 4 of what we teach as the basic principles. And it was quite interesting to see, no matter what size their school was, they were missing these basic components. And that leads me to my third area, which is systemization. I found that even though that there are all these systems available at the Super Show, you may go around and say, wow, that works, that's what I need, and you may buy into it only to find out that by buying into the system or the program that it may get you in hot water, or it may be that same analogy, three steps forward, four steps back, or whatever it may be, because you don't know when to put certain systems in effect. So the only way to do that is get tied in with certain people that mentors or consultants or whoever that could kind of put you on the pathway and say, hey, listen, I don't want you to do this. You don't need to do X, Y, and Z before you do A, B, and C, because if you do, you're going to have this big space in between that eventually it's going to be a problem. Another thing I found, even with the good majority of the people that are successful, is there's a portion of analysis paralysis that goes on. Going to the show is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing for some because they go with such excitement. And they're there to go, and you know, their goal is to learn some new things, come home instituted, take their school to a new level, when in fact they come home like I did with my head kind of spinning. I'm still decompressing from the Super Show. My biggest mistake is that I took my vacation on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I did all the show and the consulting and the seminars, and then I went home. I really should have took my vacation on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday after the show so that I could have decompressed, analyzed the information, and gone over it. Now, if you're not a taking it to the next level client or a consulting client of some sort with whoever, I believe that the most important way for you to get a benefit out of anything you do is to set goals. But you have to be sure on what you want to do. For example, if you want to build your adult market, the key is to finding out what you're going to do to build that adult market. Start putting together some sort of lists. And you may say, okay, I want to have 5 marketing components in place to market my adult enrollment. So you might want to design a postcard, a flyer, or you might want to have door hangers, and then you might want to have lead boxes, and then you might want to run an ad in the paper, or you might want to do some co-op business marketing with, let's say, a gymnasium or a, you know, social group or whatever it may be. But you have to have some sort of goals in place in order to have this targeted mentality. You know, what's interesting is, I'll go back to what Bruce Lee had once said. He said that, and Sensei Dwight Woods out there, or Sifu Dwight Woods could probably correct me because he does JKD, is that, you know, Bruce had talked about the components of training. He says there was the learning stage, then there was the doing stage, and then there was the doing without thinking stage. And I might be, you know, paraphrasing, but really what he was saying is at first you're gathering information and you're learning, and that's your quest. Then eventually it is doing it and doing what you've learned and practicing it and getting better at it. Then there's the reactionary stage where basically something happens, someone throws a punch at you, and you just react. The middle stage is a problem because somebody throws a punch at you and you have so many libraries of information to pull from, you get caught up in the thinking process and you very well could get hurt that way. It's the same analogy in fighting than it is in business. We have to make sure that we take the learning process and we really learn what we're doing as business entrepreneurs and business owners, as well as instructors and leaders and you know, developers of person, you know, the inner self. And then we have to take that into the stage and do it for a period of time so that we get real good at it. But we want to be able to be such good business people that we can immediately just react and do. Like, for example, on a downturned economy or a downturn period of time, for example, the slow summer. Everyone is slow in the summer. Everyone says that summertime is slow. So if that is a definitely a truth, then why is it we're not marketing more before the summer to gather up people in the summer? I mean, business common sense will tell you that if we know when our slow parts are, our slow points are, like a retail store, they will have special sales, they will have special marketing, and they don't do it like we do because we're reactionary in business. We find we're slow, then we market. We should be setting these systems in place way before the items have happened or the areas of trouble happen. We should say, okay, the summertime is slow, so we need to ramp up in March, April, and May all our marketing so we bring in as many people as we can so the summer's not slow. Or we start marketing our summer specials earlier in time. Or we start advertising our summer camps or whatever we're going to do, we need to do it ahead of time. Just like right now, we're in July. Sooner, within a month and a half, we're going to be in the back-to-school rush. So are we advertising our backpacks, our back-to-school specials, all the things that, you know, kids are doing to get prepared? Are we doing a special seminar to gear people up for, you know, to get kids out of the mode of just being lazy, to be back to the focused mindset. I bet parents would love to do a two-week training session to get kids back in the school mentality so when they go back, they're right away in it. It doesn't take 2 or 3 weeks to get adjusted and so on. So my thing is about goal setting. Are we setting our goals properly, and are we really getting them in order, in sequence, and we're assigning different points to them so that we know that these problem spots, these points of concern are no longer points of concern. So my overall view of speaking to clients at the Super Show was one, that they, you know, they miss the puzzle. They're not putting a puzzle together in sequence. My consulting company is like, we take the puzzle, throw it out on a table, and each piece is numbered. Put number one and number two to number three, all the way on up to 1,000 if that's how many pieces the puzzle has, and we plug those components in order. You know, martial artists by nature love to pick and choose and go, okay, I'm going to put puzzle. I don't care about piece one and two. I like number 7 and 8 or 15 and 20. I'm going to do those first. But the very essence of understanding, learning from your mistakes is not to make the mistakes from yourself. Learn from other people and find out what the big boys are doing. Find out what the guys that are successful are doing. And if you have to, because it doesn't fit your moral standards or it doesn't appeal to you, tweak it, but use it. But tweak it to your own system. The second thing I talked about was getting your head out of the blender, is getting your head out of the day-to-day frenzy. You know what, we jump into this blender and it spins us around from whatever time we start to whatever time we finish. We like wipe our brow and say, shoo, I get to go home, you rest your head on the pillow and you crash, only to get up the next day and have a little bit of free time during breakfast only to get yourself back in the blender. For example, I was away at Vegas, I had a great time, I didn't think about my day-to-day operations in my school, but I could almost, like it was an internal internal kind of clock or mileage counter, as I got closer to New York, closer to my home, I started to think more and more about the day-to-day operations, more and more about paying bills, more and more about everything that's going on, and I could feel the tension or at least stress building within my body as I gathered, you know, as I got closer to where I was going. So remember, day-to-day is great, but you have to organize yourself to the point where you're an efficiency machine. And my third thing was on systemization. You know, definitely find out about the systems that you're lacking. You know, and it's easy to see. If you're not doing many signups, you need to work on your signup system, your sales system, your trial class calls. If you're losing a lot of people after they've joined, you've done well on the signup. Now you've got to work on your retention systems. And if you're retaining people and signing them up, but they're quitting later on, maybe it's curriculum. Or if you have all these people, but your school is still not making a profit, maybe it's about the financing, the billing, and all of that. So it's easy to look. If you look analytically at your program, you could easily find what you need. I've joked about this, and I've talked about this in my seminar this past weekend. It was all about like that show House. You know, I love the Dr. House show because the lesson I get out of it is he's analytical. He doesn't look for what's on the surface. He always looks beyond, and that's why he's always harassing his staff because they immediately jump to textbook and they say, well, it must be a brain tumor. When he says, you know, well, why? Just because he has one symptom? Let's look at all the other things. What are the symptoms within your school that we need to work on? So systemization is absolutely imperative. We had a guy who signed up. He was from Ireland, I believe, and he had 500 students, but he didn't have any of the systems that we talked about. So just imagine him taking all of our basic, what I call foundational core business components and plugging it into a system that has 500 students. That guy is going to be insanely successful. I can't even begin to think about it. But now, then the last thing, or actually the fourth thing I talked about was analysis paralysis. Don't get caught up in all the hype. Don't get caught up in what's going on. Don't get caught up in the shortcuts, because the shortcuts inevitably will lead to failure. For instance, the cardio phase. There were people out there that were shutting down their traditional martial art programs to put cardio in. Some people I know added on 3-4 cardio schools. And not to say that they weren't successful, and some of them still are, but the problem was they jumped on a bandwagon that was hot at the time that eventually, like all things, like style and fashion or games, once they become old and they become common, they basically fizzle out to a certain point. I read a great quote the other day, and it said, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, with it, with your staff members, with your relationships, with anything, with your students, if they get familiar, they end up wanting to just get bored. They just inevitably do that. We had a discussion with my black belt the other day how they're going, well, you know, they don't like training with so-and-so because they want to train with you. They want to learn this. They want to learn that. When I said the mentality of martial arts is not who you train with and what hoop of fire the instructor jumps through for you. It's about you as a student learning that it's up to you to improve yourself. As a business owner, it's the same thing. You know, we're not looking, we shouldn't be looking for the next best marketing gimmick. We should be looking for some really solid marketing components to plug into our school and doing them on a regular basis. Most people, they use what we call, or they get involved in what we call the chickening out stage, and they do things for a period of time and they eventually stop doing it, and then they wonder why the results are not there. And that's amazing to me. So going over all these things that I just talked about, what was the martial arts show to me? It was just another way to get me motivated. The great thing was I signed up a bunch of next level clients, but the problem that I still find people were leaving saying to me like, wow, what am I going to do when I get home? The interesting thing is it didn't change because not only were they saying, wow, what am I going to do now while they are home, now they have 10 times more information and stimulation piled up on top, and inevitably it gets them back to the same old, which is, are we masters of getting things going and working on them till they're 100% efficient? Or are we guys that are just taking pieces, like the MMA, taking little pieces and components and developing our own thing? Why bother? You know, why not just find something that works and do it? And here's another idea, and then I'm going to ask for questions. So if you can, start thinking of some ideas or questions. But what I'd like to say is that it's all about maximization. This is a word that I heard most often spoken about with Jay Abraham, who to me, every time I listen to an audio tape, he's just a genius. And the reason why is he talks about basically taking what you have, if it's working, and maximizing its potential. So, for example, if we run an ad in the paper and we get 20 calls, should next week we change the ad and see if we get better response, or should we rerun that ad and either, one, tweak a offer, you know, 2-for-1 special, $99 summer camp, whatever it may be, and see if our response gets improved. Same headline, same pictures, same logo, tweak the response. Or maybe tweak the headline. Maybe the headline could change a little. We're running an ad now that says, don't have another boring summer. Why do we soar above the rest? And then it goes on to telling about why our school is different than most other schools. But that ad that's running, I'm going to see the response, and then I may tweak the headline a little bit. Maybe say, use the summer to improve your life, whatever it may be. It's important for us to realize that it's not about change. Every time change, something doesn't work initially, change it entirely. Well, why not maximize and tweak it? For example, if you sign 20 members up out of 50, it's not about marketing. You've already gotten 50 people to come in. People think like, how do I get more signups? They think about their statistics from the point that they're at, and they say, okay, 50 people came in, I signed up 20. Now, how do I get 40 students? I have to get 100 people to come in. That's the wrong mentality. That's the cart before the horse mentality. What we need to do is go back and maximize our signups. So if we got 50 people in and we signed up 35 of them, we're that much more ahead of the game. If we could replicate that process month after month, now we're going to have 35 signups a month versus always trying to pump more money into advertising and still keep making the same mistakes. The problem with martial arts is there's a lot of ego involved, and sometimes we don't want to admit that we can improve. We don't want to change. You know, if a parent comes to you and complains, I know because I was in this mentality, I'd much rather say, you know what, it's their fault, they don't mix, they don't fit, they're not the right person. And granted, sometimes they are the wrong person, but a good majority of the time I listen. And when I listen, I'm able to really truly hear what people are saying. And what they're saying normally is really something that I can improve upon or fix and become better at. And that is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, the key to growing your business. And remember, what is your goal as a martial arts school owner? Is it to have 500 students? And if so, why? Because do you believe 500 students translates into, you know, X amount of dollars? Or is it because you want to, based out of, you know, your desires and dreams, or maybe sometimes even ego, get yourself to a point where you could say, I'm the head sensei and I teach 500 people. In my case, I want to teach thousands and thousands of people so that I could spread the word of what I do. But you know what? there are smart school owners out there that say, you know what, my goal is 200, but I want to maximize the profits. I want to get my school so that every month with 200 students, I'm grossing $45,000 a month. So when I consult with people very much on a regular basis, I'm able to say, what is your goal? And they say, well, I would like to make X amount. I say, where is your money? Well, how much would you be happy with? Of course, we can always go above and beyond that when we found our goal. But they'd say, okay, let's, for example, say they say, I'd like to make $25,000 a month. That would give me a good amount of money a year, and I can have the lifestyle that I want, drive the car I want, live in the house that I want, build the savings that I want, and put all my children through school. If that's the magic number, that's what we have to shoot for. We can always readjust when we get there, but it's not like just saying the sky's the limit. You know, when I say the last number is goal setting, you can't just say I want to be rich and famous. Because if you do, you have no game plan. We have a thing that we call the MAP, which is your massive action plan, and you need to know where you're going and what you're going to do to get there. And that's the key. Many people talk about that all the time. They find that, you know, they want something, but they don't know how to go about it. We want to have a successful martial arts school, but we don't know how to go about it. We want to be successful, but we don't know how to go about it. So, with that being said, I'm going to ask Kathy to take everyone off the mute mode, and we're going to open up for some questions. And trust me, it doesn't have to be on this specific topic, but I'd like to hear your opinion on what I've said so far, if you like it, if you don't like it, if you think I'm off target or on target, and what your opinion of the MMA is and how it's working in your school, if you have some concerns about it. Because I would like for the rest of the people that listen to this on archive, you know, when they download it, to be able to hear what you guys think. And that's important because you're here on the call with me today, and you could tell me your opinion. So, Kathy, can we open it up for calls, for
yeah,
questions?
Yeah, sure. We should be open. We should be all ready to go.
Anybody out there, do you guys, what do you have to say about it? What's your questions? And let me hear from you.
Yoshi, it's Seafood Dwight.
Hey, sir. How are you?
Good. You said you believe that the MMA is actually benefiting martial arts in general?
Yeah.
In terms of sign-ups and that kind of thing?
Yeah. I can't say, and let me be clear on that. I want to answer that question. I said yeah to answer back, to give you a response, but, you know, it all depends. I haven't had one person walk through my door saying I want to learn MMA.
Right.
Because my marketing doesn't say MMA, although I ran an ad recently that in the ad it said we're the original mixed martial art, but I haven't had people come in and say, I want to learn MMA, I love what Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell are doing, and I want to learn how to do it.
Right.
But there are other schools, like my guys from Canada that you said you had a good talk with, that they are an MMA school. They teach Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, they teach, you know, Muay Thai, and they're doing very well. They have 400 students, 320 of them are adults.
Yeah.
But I, you know, in my opinion, Sifu, I think that you're just as much a mixed martial art as anybody because JKD adapts to anything.
Yeah,
so I think they were putting a label on MMA,
right,
and it's becoming this big buzz, but I want to separate MMA, mixed martial arts, like from eclectic martial arts, from what that whole buzz is that's the UFC, IFL, and that kind of thing. One concern that I did have, which really does turn my stomach, is that, you know, I watch these fights, and when I'm there in the audience, it's quite appalling when I hear people going, smash him in the face, kill him. And, you know, if the fights are a little technical and people aren't bleeding to death, the crowd is not happy. And that really kind of upsets me because it's almost like the old gladiator mentality where they were beheading people and throwing them in with lion cages and all that. But it's, you know, human nature, what I see is it, especially the problem with that being in the young community's eyes, is that they start to become more and more violent. They start to have, like a pit bull that's trained to fight, more and more taste for violence. And if we're living in a world that we want to have a less violent world, I think that side of it, the contempt that I say between the fighters, them shooting each other the bird in the finger and cursing each other and, you know, calling each other out, and, you know, that kind of stuff I think is damaging. But I think that like when I watch the IFL, it's less like that. You know, it's back to the old original UFC where the Gracies were respectful and they bowed. It's like boxers going in the ring and killing each other, but at the end hugging and having respect. It's not the era of where Mike Tyson bit Holyfield's ear off and people thought that was cool. Appalling, but at the same time, interesting. So, but I do think any kind of positive buzz about what we do will bring a little bit of interest to, you know, our school. And then it's up to us, if we do get any interest, to convert them to the mentality that we teach.
Yeah, well, then you and I are 100% agreed then.
Yeah.
I benefit from Like, I'm the top Muay Thai school in Miami. So
right.
I benefit from in that way. And then we also benefit from having Bruce Lee be regarded as the father of mixed martial arts, even though I personally don't agree with that. I got a different take on it. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about was my theory is that a lot of the popularity of mixed martial art is because it appeals to that primitive side of us.
Right, right.
You know, because I think that primitive man's first method of self-defense probably was some type of grappling.
Yeah.
Before the sophistication of striking, you know, and
right.
even more sophistication of kicking and punching came along.
Yeah.
So I think that the grappling is a return to that primitive, and so for a lot of people, it offers them some kind of release.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it totally, without a doubt, appeals to the ego. You know, like traditional martial arts, especially the way I teach them, they're egoless. You know, people will say, I want to get my belt, and I'll say it's not about the belt, it's about self-perfection. But that's a struggle for our society now. We need to always see that we're moving ahead. There's always those parents that don't get it where they say, why is Johnny getting his belt before my son? He's been there the same time, and we don't want to tell them, well, that's because your son needs more time or Johnny's more talented. But it's always about the ego. You know, if it wasn't, you know, we teach people that, you know, in our school systems that your kid is stupid if he gets left back. Kids are looked at as being a jerk if they get left back. It's also you're looked at better if you go to college and you get great grades. But, you know, half the millionaires in the world are not college educated. You know, so that's interesting to me that our society places that kind of value system on, you know, the ego. And that's where we run into our biggest problems because MMA or mixed martial art or any of the fight game is based on, well, I could beat you up and I'm the best fighter in the world or at least I know how to handle myself. And if this guy gives me a hard time, I could, you know, knock him out. And that's where I believe that attitude is a problem within any martial arts school, whether it be MMA or any martial arts school where they go out and they're breeding this bad mentality. So I do believe that any buzz, my correction of what my answer should have been, anything that buzzes people into our schools is a great thing.
Okay.
But I don't believe that the mentality that's being bred in Hollywood is a good thing.
Right, yeah. In that regard, I think there's a terrific amount of disingenuousness, you know, in that regard. But I want to say I think it's really courageous of you, considering your position in the martial art industry, it's really courageous of you to actually have the guts to say something that might not be popular.
Yeah, well, you know me. That's the way I am, and I don't know if I'll get a backlash of it, but I think that I'm kind of walking the line where I'm telling everyone I know that I love the fight game. I really do. I mean, I was one of the guys that back in New York, we were the only grappling school when we opened. People were coming to me from all karate schools to learn how to grapple because I've been doing grappling, jiu-jitsu-style grappling, since I was a little kid. Nowadays, everyone is doing grappling, so we're not that, you know, we're not known for that. We're known for the family-based environment. We're known for the spiritual training, and we're known for the mixed mentality of being a ninja, using a briefcase to defend yourself or using a pen or your belt and all that stuff. But we're really tied in. I believe that the people come to us are searching peace and tranquility, and they want to learn about improving their inner self. And I think that's the key to tapping into the adult market. You know, I think that everyone would like to train like a Navy SEAL but not have to go into the military. I think everybody would like to learn how to be elite but not have to go through, you know, the grueling training that maybe the elite people like the UFC and mixed martial art guys go through. So that's why I think the MMA has some appeal because they might not think like that, but they want to be able to be like that. So that's something that we, again, like I said, we have to tie back into the respect, the honor, loyalty, and the family values as well as the tradition, and if we could do that within an MMA/traditional, you know, grappling system or whatever it may be, we're going to have a hit. I also would like to add to that and say that, you know, imagine that we had some sort of figurehead, which we don't. You know, there are many figureheads in baseball. There are guys out there that are, you know, doing drugs, and then there are those guys that are helping kids. Like, I love this new show that Shaquille O'Neal is doing where he's taking these kids that are overweight, and he's trying to develop this system that can be plugged into the school systems where they learn about health and fitness. They have better healthy choices for lunch. They educate kids that, you know, a yodel is not healthy for them. You know, but a thing of fruit will give him energy and so on. And he's got some resistance. The first time I saw his show was last night, and the school systems were about to shut him down. And this is a guy who's a multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire, and he's still having struggles getting the communities and the school owner, school principals and PTA to recognize how beneficial it is to kids, because we're used to this mentality. So I wish, and I offer my services if anybody knows, I'd love to have a reality show out there that ties in the spiritual benefits, takes a picture or a reality concept over 10 weeks and shows the world that it's a transformation when you join a martial arts school, not only in physical fitness, but in mentality and confidence, and it builds a person and actually changes their life forever. And if we could watch that and show the struggles that they have in their job and how maybe if their spouse doesn't want them to leave the house or be there, and, you know, really show the transformation of what martial arts as a traditional or a classical martial arts school, and I don't mean style-wise, I mean just like the real values of what we do, how that could benefit society, I think we'd have, you know, we'd have the adult market 10 times what we have now or 100 times what we have. Because people don't know there's this negative stigma or this fear of martial arts that adults can't do it, that they're too old, they're too out of shape, they're uncomfortable. And then, of course, remember, it's about fear. People are afraid to come into our school for many reasons. They're afraid to get hurt. They're afraid to be embarrassed. They're afraid they're out of shape. And that's what we have to break down, the barrier. So if we had an ambassador out there on the Oprah show talking about martial arts, not showing like the international demo teams doing these crazy stuff that people might not be able to believe they could ever do, but really just talking about value systems and letting people know that, you know, we can help children with ADD or people who have no confidence or kids that are on the street that come from broken homes, or those adults that that don't have confidence, or they're getting bullied, whether it be spiritually, mentally, or physically. I mean, I think that we need some ambassadors in that area. We don't need the next reality show that's going to show people how to kick butt. We need to show this. That'll make the world a better place. That's my opinion. So I hope that everyone else thinks a little bit along those lines. So anybody else out there? We have about 10 minutes left. Anyone else have any comments or questions?
Incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? I was going to hold on forever, but I think the dead silence would kill people. So either one of two things is happening. One, I think that I did a good job at explaining myself. Two, I'm way off course and people disagree with me, but either way, I think that, it's a good conference call so far. So I'm going to close with a few comments that I'd like to say. And I think that most importantly, I think that no matter what you teach, the goal is not to always get caught up in the hype. As a school owner, please remember that you have, if you have a good martial art, and whether it's a mixed martial art or it's Taekwondo based, or you've had a few, an eclectic martial art that you've blended a few together, it's really all about taking your market and reaching the people that are available to you. For example, this morning I met with two people. Now, I do consulting in the martial art industry, but I'm really excited to find that what I do in the martial art industry is also applicable in other places. So I'll tell you three clients that I'm working with. One is called, the name of the business is, I wouldn't want to mention that, but it's a personal training place. The second one I'm working with is a girls fashion, kids, little kids fashion party boutique where they do birthday parties, like fashion parties for kids. And I have another person I just met with, which is totally on another side of the extreme, which is a restaurant. And what I can't believe is that most of these businesses have the same common flaws. They don't know how to get to their clients. They don't know how to market to their clients. And once they've gotten the clients, they have no support system to continually market to them. For example, I met with this young woman who actually owns a restaurant, which is great because she's a vegan chef and the foods are healthful, but they're not only vegetarian or vegan. And she's got this really posh, beautiful restaurant. It really has this very Soho-ish kind of Manhattan-ish look to it. And it's locally, it's close to my schools. And I went there and the food was tremendous. So when I met her, I said, I'd love to help you in any way I can. And what I found was that she's missing the basic components because she's caught up in the blender. She said that she works harder than anyone in the restaurant. She's the bubbly personality. She's the cook, cleaner, cabinet maker. She's always on top of her staff. She's making sure that this building is, always kept clean. She deals with paying the bills. and she doesn't have enough time to step out and do what it's going to take to grow her business to levels where she can become the owner. If she wants to, she could still cook, but she won't have to. And I told her it's all about the systems, and I started giving them some ideas on referrals from our program, business appreciation from the martial art program. I started talking to her about systemization, email marketing, goals, and all that other stuff. And she was like, to me, I find it shocking because she was kind of taken back and quite amazed by it. And to me, it's like basic business 101. So I do believe that a lot of us are still caught in that area, and it doesn't matter. I've had some of my clients that have martial arts schools, but they also have other businesses. And they're taking the martial art concepts that I teach in my consulting, and they're moving it up to what they believe could work in there, you know, tweaking it and changing it into what other businesses are, whether it's a check cashing business, a restaurant, carpet cleaning. It doesn't matter. And then they're taking those systemization skills or systemizing their personal lives as well, so that the more organized you are at work, the better it is, because the more free time you're going to have to spend with your family. The less time that you waste on, the more time you have to relax. You know, being lazy is a good thing. And when I say that, I say it in a joking way. We want to be able to sit by the pool and maximize, you know, our time with our family, but at the same time knowing that our businesses are not going to suffer for it. We tend to think that we have to constantly be working like a hamster in a cage. It's spinning the wheel in order for the momentum to keep going, but we need to get people in place and, you know, have the right people in place. Quite often we hire incorrectly, and I know that I'm a creature of this habit where I hire people that need jobs rather than hire people that are right for the job. And I am very bad, too quick to hire, too slow to fire, and very often that, you know, we need to get the right people in place so that we can become business owners rather than self-employed people. We don't want to be employed by ourselves. We want to be able to employ and watch and nurture versus just stand by and be involved in the blender, being in the system. We want to not be the hamster in the cage, but we want to be telling the hamster to run faster. We want to be able to do that not only in our business, but also with our martial arts schools. I know me, I don't desire teaching white belt kid classes for eternity. I don't want to be 65 years old and have to come to the dojo in my school every single day. By then, I either want to have retired and sold the business or be in the component where I could teach until I'm 90 and own the business and still encourage people to stay with me and train and have this momentum going where the business breeds more business. The business breeds more quality people. The business breeds leaders. So that's how organizations expand. In fact, that's the way churches expand. And I'm going to give you one book if you want to read it. It's called Developing the Leaders Around You by John Maxwell. And it was excellent. So if you can, read that. So again, I want to thank everyone for being on this call. I hope to hear from you with questions and answers. And I hope to talk to some of you people on the one-on-one consulting calls. And I hope to see you as Next Level members. So I'm signing off right now. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Chief Dwight, for speaking up in the program. And I'm honored. So have a great day, everybody.